Hey, wrestling fans, Brian DeBrain here again with another live audio review of PWG's Battle of Los Angeles 2016. It is the results of night two. It's only 12:39 in the morning here in California, Pacific Standard Time. So for the first time in God knows how long, PWG started relatively on time. They started at 8:10 p.m. Unbelievable. Last night they started at damn near, 9 o'clock, 8:45. So big turnaround for them, probably because they got the ring already set up and all the chairs already set up. So the nice thing about a weekend show like this is that it can possibly start earlier in night two. And it definitely did here, and it was a big reward for us, the fans, because by the end, it was not even midnight, which was totally dope. The show ended at 11:42. I don't think the show's ended before midnight in God knows how long. So, you know, great job by management on the timing and everything. And they really got the timing of the show down. And really, I mean, for eight matches, it flowed really, really well. It didn't really drag on too much, so good job on timing, or good job on management for the timing of the show. Excellent job. I like getting out before midnight. Strange thing was is that I usually would catch the taco truck, but the taco truck left early, so it's possible that they just ran out of stuff by the time that the show was over, because I know it's a big hot spot during intermission, so that's the one unfortunate thing. But other than that, good job ending early, and good job restarting on time for once, or not once, but you know, come on, they're not really known for it. So, what can I say about this show? It was unbelievable. It blew away night one completely. Every match was damn near 4 stars or higher. People even talked to Dave Meltzer about that. I was sitting behind him the whole time. Just crazy, crazy matches, crazy stuff. I mean, right off the bat, the crowd was super hot for Tommaso Ciampa, who was the replacement for Jack Gallagher, who unfortunately, due to travel issues, did not make the show. And from the word I've heard, that he's not going to be there for night three either. So that sucks. A lot of people were looking forward to it. People were bummed. But when Ciampa came out, the whole place exploded. With Ciampa's exposure on NXT lately, and you know, the transition to a permanent NXT roster spot and everything, it felt like a farewell, and the proper farewell that Ciampa kind of deserved. He kind of got that earlier in the year, but this was just kind of like a rehash of that, and, you know, just an awesome match. Dalton Castle really took a beat in this match, as you'd expect, because Tommaso Ciampa is, like, the heavy striker, and then suplexes you around here and there, but, you know, Dalton Castle held his own. He took a beating, came back, won with a bangarang, and it was just a great opener. In the end, it might do more for Dalton Castle, getting a big win over Ciampa, and, you know, with the TV exposure and the NXT exposure that he's gotten, getting a big win over him really, you know, kind of makes that kind of statement, I guess. I think if he would have beat Gallagher, it wouldn't have been as big of a win, I think, because it really built up to a big finish, and the crowd really, really put over, Dalton Castle at the end, at the finish of the match, just, hard hitting. Some people thought Ciampa would win, so when Dalton Castle won, it was a big pop, very big pop, and I think that might be his first win in PWG. He debuted back in February, so very cool to see him get his first win in advance in the tournament. And when I think it was the May show, Prince show, basically he got, I think, the biggest pop of the entire show, so hopefully his crowd presence and his crowd popularity kind of propel him into a deeper run of Bola, and not just, this is his first win, but it'd be kind of dope if he went to the finals or something like that. Now that my picks are out, especially. So, the next match, let me get my notes. Mark Andrews and Pete Dunne, this was great. They've, you know, probably wrestled many times in the UK, and, man, they really, especially Pete Dunne, really won the crowd over. This was a lot of, his first time wrestling in front of a lot of these fresh eyes here in PWG. People around me didn't know. People were asking about him. I've seen a few of his matches, so I kind of slightly knew what to expect, but he really, really carried this match. I mean, Pete Dunne really fucking, he was the bruiserweight, you know, he really fucking threw Mark Andrews around, he twisted him up in all kinds of crazy submissions, tombstoned the hell out of him, a little overboard with the tombstones, I thought, like, he tombstoned Mark Andrews on the floor, and then he did this amazing spot where the crowd lost their shit, where he basically tombstones Mark Andrews, then gets up, and then tombstones him again, just holding the same position. Just imagine The Undertaker trying to do that. He would destroy his knees, but Pete Dunne really pulled it off well, and that was a two count. So I felt that, you know, doing those kind of over-the-top spots, and this was kind of one of the themes of the night, it just didn't seem like, I mean, it seems like that's a match you should finish, a movie you should finish the match with, but it just seems kind of overboard. But you know, it is what it is when you're trying to win over a hot crowd in a foreign land. So, just a tremendous performance by Pete Dunne, I thought. Really, really carried himself well. People want him to come back. He's just got this, like, you know, kind of a bully kind of presence to him. It really plays off well, especially guys. If he's wrestling a smaller guy, it really comes off well. And he really threw around Mark Andrews like crazy, so that was pretty dope. And just a great match overall. Just great chemistry between the two. The clash of styles with the high flying and the grounded mat work and the grounded strikes. It was just pretty awesome. So great match there and a great debut for Pete Dunne. And he's definitely coming back. I can guarantee that. Next match was Cody Rhodes and Sami Callihan. Kind of surprised it was lower on the card, but maybe they just wanted to, you know, get it out of the way. But whatever, it was the best. This is the best Cody Rhodes match I've ever seen, and I was shocked. People around me were just, like, surprised that he was pulling off some of the moves he was doing. Basically, Sami Callihan just wanted to brawl, and they brawled, so they were building up these cool spots here and there, like counters. I mean, Cody Rhodes did a springboard, like, literally springboard from the middle rope to the top rope, and then did a dive on Sami Callihan. Unbelievable. I've never seen him do that in WWE ever. I don't think WWE would let him do that. Just a tremendous performance by Cody Rhodes. I've never seen him wrestle like this ever. He was so emotional, very into this match. I mean, when the crowd at the start of the match, you know, chanted for Dusty, and then it evolved into Cody, that was pretty dope. They were like, Dusty, Dusty, and then the crowd slowly transitioned to Cody, Cody. And when Brandi Rhodes' wife, his personal ring announcer, comes out and announces Cody Rhodes as being the grandson of a plumber, the whole place just lost it, and he nearly was in tears. And it was such a beautiful moment, man. And it really, you know, won over the crowd. Probably those doubters were probably won over by the fact that, yeah, you know what, we're watching the grandson of a plumber, the son of a legend. Unbelievable. You felt like the emotion in that room at that one moment, and you got really teary-eyed, so that was pretty awesome. And Cody had these awesome tights specifically designed for Bola. He had Bola written on the shoes. He's got the PWG logo on the pants, so you never know. This could be a sign of long things to come. What if, you know, all of a sudden Cody Rhodes gets inspired by this one performance here this weekend, and all of a sudden he wants to be a PWG regular? I mean, he's already got the tights, so it would be so awesome, I think, if Cody Rhodes all of a sudden became this regular fixture in PWG and became this, like, main event presence and brought this kind of, like, star power that PWG sort of has with their cult-like status. But putting a guy like Cody Rhodes as a regular fixture on shows would really, like, you know, take things to a different level in terms of, you know, DVD sales and whatnot. And I'm sure him on this tournament this weekend is going to, you know, increase some of the sales and the DVDs and the MP4. So I think it'd be a smart move in the long run for him to be there as a long-term fixture if he can. He's already got the tights. And he just proved himself. He totally proved himself. People around me were shocked, and people were telling me, this is the best Cody Rhodes match I've ever seen, you know, and I wasn't the only one thinking that. So, just a great brawl, back and forth. At the end, they busted out the mask. People were like, where's the mask, Sammy? Because Sammy didn't he was announced as Space Cat, but didn't come out with the mask. Came out, he didn't even have the bag with him. And all of a sudden, he pulls out this bag from under the ring, I think, and it's the Space Cat mask. And then Cody goes under the ring and finds his dashing, what do you call it, Phantom of the Opera, I guess, kind of mask. And it was mask versus mask. Very awesome. Back and forth transitions and counters into the crossroads. Pretty awesome. Like I said, just Cody Rhodes, probably best performance I've ever seen. So that says a lot. And then we went into probably the best tag match of the year in PWG. Out of all six or seven, how many tag matches there have been. But Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix defeated Tommy Ann and Chris Hero. This was fucking awesome. What can I say? I mean, Phoenix and Pentagon really worked together well together as a team, and they really proved that by some of the spots they busted out. They really busted out some of the most crazy stuff I've seen in a long time in terms of tag team. Just the creative stuff they came up with in terms of, like, the dives to the outside. Maybe they do this on the regular in Mexico, and excuse me, I've never seen it in Lucha, but basically, they did, like, this move where Phoenix ended up on top of Pentagon's shoulders. Pentagon walks and makes a 360 turning around, and then Phoenix does a fucking moonsault off his fucking shoulders. Unbelievable. The finish was a springboard 450, which is crazy. Flips into... It was just unbelievable. Chris Hero and Tommy Yen really played the heels in this match. They really got under the skin. They really beat up Phoenix in that Ricky Morton kind of role, giving Pentagon that hot tag and just going crazy with that babyface fire. Just the crazy, crazy match. The crowd was super, super into it. There was a lot of Spanish being thrown around. I had no idea what was said. I had to go up to people and was like, what the hell is... fucking are they saying? I keep hearing puta madre, puta this, madre that. I guess it's a lot of fuck your mothers in all that kind of way, but my God, just a lot of Spanish being thrown around, a lot of curse words in Spanish, so that was pretty awesome. A crazy environment. No money was thrown this time, like the Lucha match from last year, so I was kind of surprised. Maybe people forgot, but still, just a great tag match. I feel like Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix should be, like, this regular tag team fixture if they can, because they work so well with each other. But Pentagon has that great aura that he kind of has to be pushed on his own, and Phoenix can be on his own. But when they team together, it feels special. And it wouldn't surprise me if once they do bring DDT4 back, that they become a team and kind of have a good run in DDT4. It would not surprise me. So then it was intermission, and we got back, and some more awesome matches. We had Trevor Lee and Kamba Itachi. This was great. Trevor Lee won with a small package driver. What can I say about Itachi? He's still doing the crazy bumps. He dove into the chairs, into the crowd, doing that dropkick on Lee. Lee did all these crazy slam. I think there's like a bunch of apron spots too. Just a lot of craziness, man. It was hard to keep up with, but that's what you figured with these two. Like, they really kind of pushed the limit in terms of like their bump card and how... I mean, they do some really dangerous stuff, man. They did some dangerous stuff in this match, especially Kamba Itachi. It's kind of cool to see Kamba Itachi's number one fan from CMLL, that's nice, sweet Japanese lady. And, like, she was just so into it. She was the most, like, excited fan in the room, and Kamba Itachi was wrestling. It was so awesome. Kind of brought that, like, authentic CMLL feel to this match, which is kind of weird because it's Kamba Itachi and Trevor Lee. But with that woman being there, that super number one CMLL fan was just unbelievable. And she kind of took it to another level with this match in terms of her fandom. And excuse me. It was just awesome to see her, like, light up and stuff. And she was literally, like, started crying when Kamba Itachi touched her shoulder as Kamba Itachi was walking to the back. And she was just, like, emotional. It was pretty dope. And she was holding the mask that Kamba Itachi, I think, gave to her after he lost his mask against Dragon Lee back, I think, a year ago or something. So just an awesome display of craziness, bumps, and fandom all in one match. So that was pretty awesome. And of course, Trevor Lee playing up the TNA thing, chanting delete every now and then, and just, it's unbelievable that a fucking PWG crowd is fucking chanting delete, 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 and obsolete, and all this shit, and they're really into it. So who knows how long this will last, but to me, it could be this whole broken Matt Hardy shit could be just like the Charlie Sheen of this year, and just no one will give a shit about winning. And in 2017, it'll just be an afterthought, like winning was back in 2009, so who knows. Or 2011, whatever that shit was. Mark Haskins defeated Cedric Alexander with his reverse Fujiwara armbar submission, whatever you want to call it. I forget the name. I mean, the card, and I already forgot the name of the move, but this was great, man. Haskins moves a little too fast, though. I think he should slow it down a bit, because he was just going like a million miles an hour, I felt, just like going from here to here to here, not really giving you a breather. But other than that, like, he is just unbelievable. His timing is just fantastic. His strikes are fantastic. This was probably the most strike-heavy match of the entire show. And they were just smacking each other up, probably. Next to Kyle O'Reilly and Matt Riddle, this was, yeah, definitely a strike-heavy match. And just unbelievable in terms of the striking between these two. Haskins really is just one of the best strong style wrestlers, probably for his size. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up, you know, down in New Japan and being a fixture in that junior division where you kind of need some fresh talent, and him bringing that hard style that kind of Shibata kind of brings. Maybe you got to pair him with like a Shibata as like his young guy to kind of like mentor and tutor like Tanahashi is for Makalagan right now. So wouldn't surprise me. Especially with a performance like this, where he's just doing all kinds of strong style stuff and just making everything seem so legit and hard and real. And Cedric was just giving it back to him. And Cedric, of course, is in an unbelievable shape. He, you know, we've all seen him in the Cruiserweight Classic, but the fact, if you see him live and you see him wrestle like a year ago compared to now, you'll realize that how much he's really committed to his body and how much it really was a blessing in disguise for him to go in the Cruiserweight Classic, because they made him lose the 20 pounds in order for him to compete. Therefore, he really had to push himself and kind of change his body in a good way. And he looks phenomenal now and such better shape. It kind of inspires, you know, me to an extent. If he could lose 20 pounds and look like that, maybe, you know, 20 pounds for me wouldn't be so bad. You know what I mean? It's really kind of inspiring, and the fact that, you know, he was always just kind of like, not really a cruiserweight, but kind of like that middle ground, kind of like a Mara Fuji kind of size, like a 220, but once he lost that weight, I think it's really helped him, and he's faster, he's lighter, his moves look better, he's crisper, and I think that losing the 20 pounds really helped it. This match was great, and I hope Cedric comes back tomorrow night, because I didn't have a chance to give him a card, or set of cards. I feel bad. I wanted to get it to him, but he went to the back right after the match, and I didn't see him during intermission or during the pre-show, so kind of disappointed. I'm hoping he's going to be there tomorrow so I can give him the cards. Hopefully. We'll see. But next was another unbelievable match, Kyle O'Reilly and Matt Riddle. This was everything I wanted it to be, everything I expected it to be. They slapped the shit out of each other. They kicked the shit out of each other. They tried to break each other's arms. They tried to twist each other's ankles. It was just unbelievable. Totally that MMA style, ground and pound kind of style, just crazy. This match was unbelievable. I don't even know if this is a match of the night, to be honest, but just the, what can I say? I mean, it's everything you'd expect out of these two. Of course, their styles would mesh so perfectly that, I mean, God, everything seems so smooth, and it's unbelievable that fucking Matt Riddle is, what, 2 years into the business, something like that, and he's just this good, and he's learning so quickly, and compare him to, like, 6 months ago in Evolve, and how much he's grown since then. It's unbelievable, man. And people were coming up with all kinds of variations of bro as a chant, so that was pretty awesome, and, you know, just an unbelievable match, just what you'd expect out of these two, especially with Kyle O'Reilly, who knows how to finish a match like a classic should. You know, this felt like a classic by the end, so it wouldn't surprise me. If it gets like a really big match of the year kind of vibe to it, or a push for that, because it was just unbelievable with the transitions and the counters and the submissions and stuff. So that was pretty awesome. And then, of course, the main event, the 6-man tag that people forgot and realized, holy shit, we're getting this main event right now, is the Young Bucks and Adam Cole versus Will Ospreay, Ricochet, Matt Sydal. Everything you would imagine, like these six guys would do, like they did, and it was just all super kicks here, flips there, super kicks here, flips there, ace crushers here, more dives there, and I think there was like one botched spot at the beginning of the match where Sydal was trying to do like an assisted, or like Ricochet was assisting Sydal to the top, and Sydal just botched and fell on his stomach, and they kind of played off like, my bad, bro, my bad, you know, they kind of just played it off, so that was pretty funny, so they kind of played it into the match. Crowd was just going nuts the whole time. What can I say? I mean, these 6-man tags are kind of like this thing, a regular fixture of the Bola weekends, where it's just like, we got Adam Cole and the Young Bucks, or we got Roderick Strong and the Young Bucks, and we're just going to like pair them up with three awesome dudes, and we're just going to have an awesome main event to send the crowd home happy. And this was exactly that. And then after the match, Ricochet got on the mic and said, you'll see us tomorrow, and kind of teased a Will Ospreay-Ricochet match in PWG, which I think would be awesome. Have this kind of rivalry that goes to every promotion, from Evolve to New Japan, now to PWG. It could be epic, man. And they kind of tease that, you know, we're in for something special. And there's always something special in I3s. Like last year, we had Pentagon Jr. and Zack Sabre Jr. in a dream match. So tomorrow could be full of potential dream matches that I can only fathom right now. And yeah, Will Ospreay and Ricochet, you know, in Reseda with that audience that only sees probably PWG and not really any other indie, will just be blown away by what they can do. And it's going to be awesome if they do it. And they really teased it, and I hope they do it. So that'd be kind of awesome to see. And yeah, just an awesome show. Way better than last night. The flow was much better. You know, like the timing was great on everything. Nothing felt too long. Nothing felt too short. And yeah, just awesome stuff all around. So, yeah, I guess that's it for now. I've gone about 20 minutes, so that's about it. I'm tired. My throat is very dry. I drank a lot of free beer. Thank you for all the fans that gave me the beer and, you know, all the your love on Twitter and all the handshakes and all that kind of thing. It was awesome. And one highlight from this weekend, not only, you know, shaking Liger's hand, but people coming up to me and just like, I am from like here, I'm from Chicago, I'm from wherever, and they're just like, I love your cards, and that's pretty awesome to feel and experience, so thank you for that. Hit me up on Twitter, Brian the Brain, D-A, not the, and hit me up if you need some graphic design work done. I did the cards, I talked to some people, maybe High Spots might do some stuff with the cards, we'll see what happens, but hit me up on Twitter if you want to talk some pop culture, whatever, wrestling, whatever you want to. And maybe we can work something out on a deal for some graphic design work. So thank you, everybody. And, oh, yeah, check out the store, pwponderings.com/store, and check out some of the latest designs. And, you know, help support us. And, you know, we give it back to you guys with shit like this, with the cards and the audio and all that kind of thing. So thank you for supporting us. And thank you, Indie Corner. This is a dual podcast. Shout out to both websites. So that's pretty awesome. So thank you, and more to come tomorrow for night 3. Peace.